news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience ends. Prepare to meet your fate.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Well, maybe you could tell by the tone of my voice that I'm not a happy camper today.
Why not?
Life is so unfair, but we're going to push on and do a show anyway. Good evening, folks. No, it's still afternoon. It's still daytime. It's daylight saving time. So, good afternoon. Welcome to the What Are You Reading... Don't even sound right to say good afternoon. Comic book show. I'm your host, Surfer.
I'm your co-host, Jordan Worth Cobb.
What is the worth? What are you worth?
I'm worth a lot of money. And by that, I mean $5. And crisp $1 single bills.
Yeah, we're going to be here for the next hour talking to comic books and the related stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I may break down and cry once or twice during that hour, but I'll try to keep together.
Oh, come on, dude.
But anyway, how can they join us so they can make the show more exciting?
There are several ways people can join us. Right now, they can join us by calling in to the number 215-253-4516. Make sure to call us for that, people, because, you know, if you call us for that a lot, we get to keep the number. Right now, we're trying to keep that number. You can join us via Skype. Just add the contact, SilverSurfer_forever. Or, if you want to type, you can join us at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. And if you love our show and the various other great programming here on Rant EM Radio, you can subscribe to us here. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave a review for us and other fine programs. You can also listen to us on Stitcher, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio. Any way you want to listen to this great programming, you go right on ahead. It's your choice.
You know, I was at a Best Buy over the weekend, and Walmart, and a few other places.
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking through, and I'm seeing movies being advertised for sale on Blu-ray and DVD that just opened in the theater. And you know what movie I'm talking about, right?
Transformers Age of Bullshit.
They're already selling the Blu-ray pre-orders. My God, give us a break. But anyway,
yo, people, why would you want to buy that piece of shit?
Well, you haven't seen it yet, so.
I have seen it.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me tell you how dedicated I am for the show.
I was going to let you out of that deal, but I'm sorry, it's too late now.
I wanted to get this over with. Look, I went to go see this on opening day, which was Friday, which was also my 25th birthday.
You that old?
Yes, I'm that old.
time. Remember, you was only like 17.
Yeah, I know. Time flies, man. Time fucking flies.
I can't believe we've known each other that long.
I know. Hey.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. And look, Surfer, I truly do consider you a friend. I really do. You're a good friend. You're a wonderful person to talk to. What? Fuck you for making me see this.
Well, we can spoil it later. But anyway.
Yeah, well, we are recording a spoiler cast on Transformers. But my birthday was good. I actually got a $100 Amazon gift card, and I was able to purchase a piece of equipment I can use for this very show. I have bought myself a professional microphone.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
Yeah, are you using the microphone? Because I'm only using the one inside my MacBook.
Well, I got a headset with, you know, a little mic on it. I don't have like a standalone mic you hold in your hand or put into a mic stand.
Well, the microphone I ordered.
I mean, I do have one of those mics, but it's a hassle trying to just plug it into a computer without a sound board.
Well, the microphone I ordered was a Blue Snowball Ice condenser microphone. Mm-hmm. And I got so caught up in the gift card frenzy that I forgot to order a pop filter for it. So right now I'm actually going to make my own pop filter, which I've seen online from many tutorials and instructions, actually does work as much as the professional ones.
That's good.
Yes, yeah, so next, I ordered three things. I also ordered, this was related to the show, the final trade of the Stephanie Brown Batgirl run.
Okay.
And a video game. GTA 5. So those should be shipping very soon. I know GTA has shipped. I got the notice in my email. But I haven't gotten word on Batgirl or the microphone yet. But sometime next week, you're going to hear my voice, my smooth voice again, in a much even smoother way, because I'll have actual professional equipment and whatnot.
I've created a monster.
You know, no, you haven't. You created a genius.
Let me tell you some box office numbers.
Oh, boy.
You know, you knew it was going to be number one.
Oh, can I take a shot of vodka real quick just to numb myself?
Hurry up. You should have had that already.
Folks, all right, do it. Come on.
Folks, you're supposed to have your tasty beverage ready when the show
starts. I'm not talking about
everybody out there listening. Oh,
yeah. Well, hey, I got two tasty burps. I just took a shot of vodka, and I have a very lovely summer beer with me. So,
the hell, summer winter beer? This is beer. Just drink a damn.
It's Keystone. Blue Moon Summer Honey Week. Just keep, that shit
just
is delicious.
Drink a Keystone Light and get it over with. But anyway,
oh, Keystone Light tastes like shit.
So, Transformers: Age of Extinction came out this week. And it is the first movie of the year to hit the $100 million mark for the weekend. And the estimate gross is exactly $100 million. So it beat out the previous champ, Captain America. Uh-oh, we got a call. Hold on.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Hello.
Probably called and yell at me.
Oh, it's the boss man.
It's the boy who called and yelled at me.
No, I didn't call in to yell at you.
Oh, okay.
I just called to say good luck. We're all counting on you.
We don't want it.
Thank you. I will take a sip of my beer for you right now, Rand.
Did you see Transformers?
No.
You plan on seeing it, though, right? You can't wait.
Yeah, I can wait.
Can you suffer with me and Surfer, please?
So anyway, its budget is $210 million. So, you know,
just as much as this show.
The, you know, Michael Bay spent about $180 million on explosions and gave the rest to Mark Wahlberg because nobody else is really getting paid. Worldwide, though, it did make another $200 million. So it made $300 million total. Now, the trick is to see how much it makes next week, because if it drops big, that's going to be the indication that the word got out that this is a piece of crap.
Well, you know what? Let's play a game. How much do you see this dropping by?
Well, okay. It could still be the number one movie next week, but if it drops below 50 million, that's a big drop.
Ooh.
Especially with the holiday next weekend.
Yeah, next week, next Friday is 4th of July, people. And, barbecue beer time! Woo!
I'll be in Orlando.
How's the fireworks in Orlando on 4th of July?
Well, Rhett,
I guess I'll find out.
Well, Rhett, allow me to say fuck you, and please don't fire me because of that.
Because we have the best fireworks because country was
born
here.
Your Philly pride. Oh, America was founded here. Oh, Benjamin Franklin, blah, blah, blah.
You know, let me tell you something. It is so scary to watch fireworks, right? No, listen. Real quick before we get off track. You watch fireworks, mm-hmm. and then you realize you're too close to the fireworks. So then, like, the stuff is dropping down on top of you. That is a scary, scary thing to be in.
Yes, I've had that happen before.
I've been around fireworks as they have gone off, and I'm not going to lie, it's one of the scariest goddamn things I've been around.
So, anyway, moving on, Train Your Dragon came in third place, brought in another $13 million. It's only up to $121 million. Still got a ways to go to catch the $145 budget, but it's trucking along.
It's going to get there.
Let's see, Maleficent, $8 million. It's up to $210 million. Jolie kicked ass. Edge of Tomorrow is $5 million, is seventh place. So Maleficent was in fifth. Dragon was in third place.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men is in ninth place. Brought in $3.3 million. Its total was $223 million.
I'm gonna let you guys go. I came in to say hello.
Okay.
And
what
kind of
books
you
been reading this week, Double A?
What was that?
What comic books did you read this week?
I read
Hey, Lolita, are you watching Dark Souls?
What the fuck was that?
No, nothing.
You read what now?
I didn't read anything. I read the iPad.
Yeah, I gave you a homework assignment a long time ago. You still never done it. Anyway, all right then.
Goodbye. The guy who hired us.
He ain't hiring me. He ain't the boss of me. But anyway, what you got news for me, Jordan?
Oh, we got plenty of news. Hey, guess what? We got more Daredevil news. We got more news on the upcoming Daredevil TV show.
Okay.
And what that news is that Matt Murdock's best friend, roommate from law school, and partner in law, Foggy Nelson, has been cast. The actor, Eldon Henson, who is set to make his Hunger Games debut in the upcoming Michael J. Part 1 later this year. But more people may know him from As the World Turned, ER, and The Butterfly Effect, but most likely the Mighty Ducks franchise from Disney.
I'm not sure about who this guy is. He kind of looks familiar, but, you know.
Well, Jeff Loeb has had something to say. Marvel said that.
I'll tell you what, not to cut you off, Jordan. I'm going to look for a comic book right now, and I'll be back.
Okay.
So I'll call you when I find it.
Goodbye, Rant. Jeff Loeb, head of Marvel's television, said, quote, Eldon plays one of the most important characters in the world of Marvel's Daredevil, and we're thrilled to see Foggy Nelson brought to life by such an incredibly talented actor. He perfectly captures the heart and soul of the series, bringing an added renaissance to Matt Murdock's fight against Justice in our great city, end quote. Now, Foggy Nelson is very important to Daredevil. He has been one of the most prominent supporting characters, and again, his best friend, a rival for affections of a lady sometimes, and law partner, ever since Daredevil number one, way back in 1964. He will be joining fellow cast members Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock / Daredevil, Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk, aka Kingpin, and Rosario Dawson, whose role remains anonymous at the time.
I wonder, they haven't revealed, you think she could be Typhoid Mary or something?
The biggest rumor going around, she's Elektra.
Elektra?
Yeah, that like I've heard, like, of all the rumors I've seen around the internet, it's been either Karen McDuffie, fucking Elektra, or Typhoid Mary.
Well, I'm excited. You got me sold. Speaking of TV shows, Walking Dead DVD and Blu-ray is set to do out on August 26th. And you own any of the seasons yet?
No, I do not. The only thing of Walking Dead I own is trades.
And I think one of the sets, I'm trying to bring the article up now, comes with some kind of, I think it's like a book holder with zombie coming out of the ground.
It's actually a really cool case from what I've seen.
Sorry, I had to get a drink.
Nah, it's cool. I just took a swig myself.
What do you think about Edgar Maria?
Use your words.
Edgar Maria. Could you say it for me, please?
Edgar Ramirez?
Yes, thank you. Is it talks to play Doctor Strange?
Edgar Ramirez. Now, for those who may not know the actor, he's most prominently known for playing Larry, a CIA operative in Zero Dark Thirty, and one of the assassins, Paz, from Deepborn Ultimatum. Those were his bigger acting roles. Oh, wait, he was also in Wrath of the Titans as Ares, the God of War, which I'm sorry if you had to see that movie.
I liked the Wrath of the Titans.
Oh, Wrath of the Titans was so awful.
No.
Yes.
No, I mean, it wasn't great, but it was okay.
Are you high?
No, I'm not high. I haven't been high in...
Well, Edgar Ramirez also is a co-star in one of the films coming out next weekend. He is co-starring alongside Eric Bana in the upcoming Deliver Us From Evil, which strangely enough, is co-written and directed by Doctor Strange director Scott Derrickson.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you want to hit me with now?
What?
I said, what do you want to hit me with now?
Oh, since we're on TV, Constantine. There's a new bit about Constantine. Now, I want to ask you, when you think Constantine, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? John Constantine, go.
Demons.
Okay, besides that.
You mean as far as like his characters?
Yes, his character. No, just John Constantine. Like
that he smokes?
Yes, he smokes. Guess what? He's not going to smoke. John Constantine's trademark chain smoking will not make its appearance to DC to NBC's Constantine when it premieres October 24th. October 25th.
There's been such an anti-smoking kick that now you can't... That like. They're trying to make it so if you smoke on TV or in movies, it becomes mature and R-rated.
Yeah, and by the way, people, while we're on it, I highly recommend the movie. Thank you for smoking. It's a great satire that involves subjects like the one we're just talking about. Director Neil Marshall, who's directed Constantine's pilot, said in a recent interview of Collider, "It's one thing you can't smoke on network. That's one of his character traits." We're working around that. We're trying to get aspects of it in there as much as possible.
Tell me if this makes sense, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Getting off track, but I can't take a cigarette wherever I want to go, right?
Okay.
Can't smoke in places. Uh-huh. Can't smoke in restaurants, stuff like that. And that's fine because, you know, everybody don't want to smoke. But there's a lot of places I can take semi-automatic assault rifles and to these same locations where cigarettes at the most will kill me and an assault rifle will kill everybody around me. Makes sense to you? Does not make sense to me at all.
It does not make any sense to me at all.
Sorry, we're getting off track.
Marshall went on to say smoking is very frustrating. Who knows where it will go, where the story will go, where the character will go. There's still a lot of options. It is a little frustrating, though. It was it was kind of predictable given how we didn't see a bit of a cigarette or a lighter or a match at all in the trailers and previews we've seen. And there's a storyline that makes John Constantine smoking a very big thing when he is diagnosed with lung cancer. That's a huge thing. So I am still curious as to the Constantine show. I mean, we're going to be covering it for the we're going to be covering it here on What Are You Reading? So don't worry about that. We're going to be covering every comic book related TV show. Well, as much as we can. Although I'm sure as hell not going to watch
Teen Titans Go again. Some fall when Constantine, Gotham, and Flash all hit the airwaves.
Oh yeah. But I remember the story arc, Hellblazer 34-35, Dangerous Habits. That definitely deals with the fact that he has lung cancer from all that smoking. I'm curious as to how that's gonna work around. I really am.
Even in the movie, you knew he had lung cancer, because that was the thing. It was just a matter of time before he died, and then of course he was gonna end up in hell because he committed suicide, you know? and when he was dying at the end, Lucifer sucked out the lung cancer so he wouldn't die and go to heaven.
Yeah, he smokes like a goddamn chimney. So again, it'll be interesting to see how NBC works itself around that. I mean, the writers are going to be pretty goddamn ingenious.
I mean, part of John Constantine is he's a bit self-destructive.
Yes. So you do not want to be friends with John Constantine.
So if you take that aspect away from him, you may be making something pretty dull.
Agreed.
I got a story for you. You know, some Hollywood, some organizations representing Hollywood actors and directors and screenwriters, they're urging the Supreme Court to hear the Kirby Air case as far as royalties go for the characters he created with Marvel.
Ah, excellent.
Now, of course, Kirby has been trying to win against Marvel for a long time now. And Kirby, along with Lee, basically, and some people say Kirby more than Lee, created the Marvel Universe as you know it today. And of course, Marvel makes billions, and Disney, and so on and so forth. But Kirby didn't make all that kind of money, and his heirs don't get anything. And I kind of root for the heirs, to be honest. I mean, it's not like I want, you know, Marvel to crumble and lose all the money, but...
But no, I completely agree.
They make enough money, they could share a little.
The heirs of Jack Kirby deserve it. They truly do.
Jack, the King of... I mean, like, he created so
he is
many
the King of comics.
For Marvel and DC. Like, you know... One day when you're watching a Justice League movie and they're fighting Darkseid.
Yeah.
Well, Kirby came up with that.
Yes. New Gods, Orion.
And he came up with Marvel's biggest villain. Doctor Doom.
Oh yeah, it is. Oh yeah, as well.
And of course he came up with my favorite character too.
Oh, and who is that?
And just a sentinel of the spaceways.
Oh, does he have a surfboard? Does he like to surf very often?
Yeah, he's the coolest character you know.
Well, speaking of some Marvel stuff.
You got Guardians news?
Yes, I got several pieces of Guardians news. I'm going to start with comics first. Dan Abnett is returning to Guardians with Guardians 3000, a new ongoing series. Dan Abnett, of course, being one of the people that brought back the current crop of Guardians of the Galaxy, you see with Dan Lanning. Oh, no, Kurt. Oh, damn it, I am.
So now he's going to write the original Guardians of the Galaxy, which a lot of you may not know.
Yes. which is quite the impressive cast of characters. Andy Lanning. I'm sorry, I apologize on that screw up. Yeah, just forget I said it, but yes. The series is set to Dan Abbott is writing Guardians 3000, Guardians of the Galaxy, set in the year 3000. With art dues being taken over by fan favorite Gerardo Sandoval. It is set to release in October via Marvel.
Yeah, the original Guardians take place in the 31st century.
Yes.
And it was comprised of colonized humans who were like Earth went out and colonized all the planets in the solar system. And then another race called the Badoon came and slaughtered everybody. And a few remaining people got together from the different planets and fought them off and became the Guardians of the Galaxy, along with a 20th century astronaut called Vance Astro, who, you know, went through space for 1,000 years sleep. And his whole thing was he was sealed in his suit, stay alive. Anyway, and he was a mutant.
Yeah. The other piece of Guardian news I have is that Marvel Studios and IMAX has a surprise for fans. Those excited for the upcoming James Gunn adaptation of Guardians of the Galaxy, 17 minutes of footage will be screened on select IMAX screens on July 7th. And the news came with a newly released poster featuring all five outcasts of Marvel's cosmos.
Are you going? Because I'm going.
And I doubt it. Because usually Arkansas IMAX is never selected for this.
Did you check?
I'm checking right now. And by the way, if you want to check, you can go. If you want to see if there's any area around you that's having this footage screened, go to www.seeitfirst.net/pin/552287.
And what is the last piece of Guardian news?
And I'm checking right now. Oh, hey, what a shock. Little Rock Arkansas assaulted again. Fucking, you know, we got an IMAX theater. We got IMAX screens across the state. Why not, you know, throw us a bone? Oh, yes, one more piece of Guardian news. Nathan Fillion's having a cameo. Friend, the Firefly Castle actor and friend of writer-director James Gunn, is having a small cameo in the film.
Did we talk about that last week?
I believe so, but you said one more piece of news. And
no, honestly, I thought you were talking about how James Gunn is hinting at how cosmic the Guardians of the Galaxy will be.
Oh, yes, that. I thought you were meaning another piece of news that might have slipped under me.
Now, I don't know if he's going to get. I don't know how cosmic this is really going to get, because you start getting to that cosmic Marvel style, then you're talking about characters like Eon and Living Tribunal and
Cosmos
and the Collector. Well, the Collector's in this, so yes. You are talking about the Elders. So,
transitioning from Marvel to DC, DC has implemented a new implements creator payment plan. Effective on July 1st, co-publishers Dan DiDio and Jim Lee announced that under a new plan, royalties, referred to as participation by DC, will now be based on a book's net revenue for various distributions, including digital, print, rather than on its cover price, and still print editions, and also colorists will now get royalties.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, you think?
Oh, wait. And digital first creative teams are also eligible for participation for the first time, having formerly been paid at a flat rate. And yes, I think this is a great thing. Because, you know, the artists on a butt can draw. They can draw the pages together. And, you know, some of them do their own colors. Some of them. But there are some that do the colors for them. And they talk back and forth. And honestly, I think the ones that are doing the colors for the artists deserve to get paid. Like FCO Policia on the current run of Batman. Mm-hmm. His colors make Greg Capullo's art pop and just so vibrant and expansive that, yeah, he deserves a little bit of that cheese. So I will salute to you, DC, on this great thing you have done.
All right, I got a couple of pieces of Santa Claus's favorite son, Shane Black.
Ooh, do share.
First, him and Fred Decker to reboot Predator. Now, I've never been the biggest Predator fan, but, you know, they're cool franchises as far as... My favorite is Predator 2. I know a lot of people don't think that, but I do, because I like the fact that it was where the first Predator, you know, you knew Arnold was going to find a way to be a superhero and win. But the second one was you really wasn't sure how Danny Glover was going to, you know, old-ass Danny Glover was going to find a way to, you know, beat a Predator. So that's why I like Predator 2 better. And I believe they're going to reboot everything. So what does that mean? I'm not quite sure.
Well, we do know.
Even though the last movie was supposed to have been kind of a reboot.
Oh. Yes, but former Predator actor and Iron Man co-writer and director Shane Black will be directing this upcoming title, along with and co-writing it with Fred Decker.
I mentioned those names.
Okay, the connection kind of popped out for me for a second. That's my bad. You know what? Blame AT&T. We had to go back to AT&T.
The other thing is Shane Black wants Chris Hemsworth to play Doc Savage.
Yes, Black's upcoming Doc Savage adaptation, which has been in the works for a while. He's wanting Thor, the God of Thunder himself, to play the role.
Do you think that's a wise idea to take somebody that's been so established as a A-list Marvel character and make him into Doc Savage?
I like Doc Savage, but hey, who knows?
And I don't know if the younger generation know who Doc Savage is, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, me and you know, but a lot of people don't know who Doc Savage is.
You know, he's an old-time pulp star from back in the day. And I've not always been the biggest Doc Savage fan, but, you know, if they can do a good movie, I'm for it.
There have been better pulp heroes. There are better pulp heroes, I'll admit. But Doc Savage is a good one for me. I mean, there was a 1975 film starring Ron L. Eli as Doc Savage. Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze. Which was directed by Michael Anderson. But, yes, Shane Black, the film is projected to come out in 2016. And I did find that article you mentioned about James Gunn hinting at how Cosmic Guardians will be. I had lost it among the fray of all the other news items we have left to talk about. But in the recent issue, in the August issue of Birth, Movies, Death, the Alamo Drafthouse magazine, that badass digest has put together. It features Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy and on the cover, and exclusive interviews with writer director James Gunn and Zoe Saldana. Now, first, Gunn acknowledges that the floating head you see in the Guardians trailer is indeed Nowhere, the comic base for the Guardians of the Galaxy. And he says, quote, "We have a couple ideas of Celestials, who we refer to in the film. They're a part of the overall structure the Celestials. Cosmic. Yes,
Celestials. They're going to get into that.
They're a part of the overall structure of the cosmic universe. They're a part of the fun of what the movie is, end quote. And Gunn even tapped into the lesser-known vein of Marvel mythos and hint that Celestials may not be all we see in this movie. Quote, our characters to some degree have superpowers, but at the same time, they're just ordinary citizens of the galaxy. They just happen to be renegades. They're basically bikers. They're just these ordinary citizens who get caught up in this thing because they want money in the beginning. That has completely cosmic overtones. They are characters like Thanos involved. And then they are characters bigger than that. Suddenly, these mortals are playing in the fields of gods. I always find that a very interesting thing. James Gunn's hitting at a wide, expansive palette for him to paint the Marvel Cinematic Cosmic Universe.
Do you think he'll stick with the franchise? Do you think this is a one?
I hope he does. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I hope he does. Because, man, he seems like a perfect fit.
Look, they seem to have a lot of confidence with this movie.
They do. Speaking of franchises and movies, a Fox president of production has recently talked things up about X-Men Apocalypse and Fantastic Four.
Okay, go ahead.
Fox, 20th Century Fox's president of production, Errol Watts, said this to The Hollywood Reporter, quote, we're making a big bet for 2015 with the Fantastic Four and director Joss Trank. To me, the key is the originality of the filmmakers and the choices they make. Joss is another really interesting example who is using the vision he gave us in Chronicle to reinvent a franchise he's loved his whole life. It's not that you can't make original ideas. You can. And we did it with Chronicle. The director is the key not letting superhero movies go stale. That's the truth. End quote. And when asked if there were going to be found footage elements in the Fantastic Four, Watts replied, quote, it's Joss. So it can't not have that feel. That's talent. That's what he does. And that's what excites him about. And that's what excites him about it. It's a really interesting young cast, and he is the magnet that's brought them together. We're going to go off a beaten track here real quick. I do not want a found footage Fantastic Four movie.
I'm going to not judge yet until...
No, I agree. It's wrong to just go off the gun like that, but I still think that sounds kind of stupid because... Damn. That just doesn't excite me at all. Found footage rarely works for me at all. And I don't want to see that with the first family of comics.
Yeah, that might not be the best way of going about... doing the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, then again, that's just me. Chronicle was amazing. I'll admit to that. Chronicle was an amazing feature film.
Yes, it was, which is the reason why I'm holding on to hope that this will turn out to be good, too.
But, again, I hope I'm wrong. I want to be proven wrong. But Watts had some things about X-Men Apocalypse. Subject brought up was if Bryan Singer would return behind the camera. Quote, right now, we are totally at the outlining phase, but nothing would make me happier than if it all worked out. It's always been the intention for him to do it, end quote.
Which means you better pay off whoever's suing you so we can get the movie done.
Yes, as for those who may not remember as to why it's even brought up, why Bryan Singer might not be brought back to direct Apocalypse, he is accused of... He has been accused of sexual assault of a minor and as part of a child sex ring. But there is an update again. The first testament that came forward, Michael Egan, Singer has provided evidence. Singer and his attorney were able to provide evidence that neither Singer or Egan were in Hawaii at the same time as the alleged incident happened. Although there is still a pending lawsuit from May 2014. That singer and Superman Returns producer Gary Goddard, sexually assaulted John Doe number 117, as this person's being described as, at a London premiere of Superman Returns. So again, there. That's why there's a possibility Bryan Singer might not be back. Speaking of movie franchises, there's an update on Star Trek III. Writer-director Robert Orci has said he is going to bring Star Trek back to its roots. Quote, in this movie, they are closer than they are to the original series characters that you have ever seen. They have set off in their 5-year mission, so their adventure is going to be in deep space. Orci is joined on this by Patrick McKay and J.D. Payne, who are helping him, right? And the film is still set to be released in 2016, just in time for Star Trek's 50th anniversary. What do you think? You want to see original Navy battle Star Wars on the big screen?
I'm sorry, say that last part again?
Are you excited to see original Navy space battle type Star Wars fights on the big screen?
Navy, did I miss something?
Again, that's the style they were taken after, like the battles on Star Trek, like some of the starship battles.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I don't know, to be honest. Not quite sure.
Okay. Well. More news. Doctor Who. A new trailer has come out. A new teaser.
Yeah.
And with that, a premiere date. Doctor Who Series 8, the first series of Peter Capaldi as the 12th Doctor, will premiere August 23rd on BBC One and BBC America.
Speaking of Peter Capaldi, I knew I didn't like him as Doctor Who, and last week confirmed it. When I was watching The Three Musketeers, and he walks into the room as that evil Cardinal Ristler. Okay?
Oh.
I knew it was some evil about Peter Capaldi. And this proves it. He's an evil...
Have you ever seen In the Loop or The Thick of It?
I don't care about that. I know he's evil on his Musketeer TV show. Did you watch that last week?
No, I haven't watched it at all yet.
First episode came on last week.
Okay.
And he's playing the Cardinal.
The villain.
Yes. And it's coming on again tonight, 9 o'clock, second episode.
Will the first run before it?
I don't know.
Check my list.
It did play during the week it came on. It wasn't... I liked the episode so far. So we'll see if it keeps up. Let's see...
Well, there's some more franchises.
I'm looking at what's on now. Dracula's on. Hannibal's coming on after that. No repeat of the Musketeer. But you could probably catch it on demand. Or on BBC.com or whatever. Anyway,
yes.
Let's get a new doctor in there right away. Let's get Matt Smith back.
No,
he ain't doing nothing. But
he's gone.
He ain't busy. He's just doing autographs. He could do it. Anyway,
what? Just
you know, it was $200 if you wanted a picture with him and an autograph last week at the WizardCon.
You went?
No, I didn't go.
How the hell did you know this?
Well, because they put the prices on the website. Yeah, you ordered the tickets in advance. So
okay.
They had a panel which you had to pay extra for. They did have a free panel with him in it, but there was a panel you could pay extra for. They had the VIP ticket for him. They had a cost to get a signature. They had a cost to take a picture. They weren't playing around with Matt Smith. And I'm quite sure that place was packed just for him alone.
Well, on to other
franchises. But sorry, real quick. The Doctor Who. That teaser didn't say much. All it did was he asked Claire, is he a good man? And she's like, I don't know who the doc, I don't know.
That's so teasing. That's good. That gets me excited. I'm like, oh shit, what the hell's going down?
Have you ever known a doctor to be a bad person? I mean, there's been some versions of the doctor that was cold-hearted, but always did the right thing. Never went around doing evil acts.
So, I'm interested in this. Again, I am on that camp of, I think, what Stephen Moffat is doing right now is fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's, we got what? We got over a month and a half before it comes back
on? Yes, we do. Speaking of franchises. Batman vs. Superman added another damn actor. Scoot McNairy.
Scoot. That's a nice name, Scoot.
Who appeared in Marvel's All Hail the King short, actually. Deadline reports the Argo actor will play as a role in Zack Snyder's Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. He is also currently starring on the AMC series Halt and Catch Fire, and currently stars in the film The Rover, starring Guy Pearce and Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm.
And will once again star opposite Ben Affleck in the upcoming Gone Girl this fall, directed by David Fincher.
Wait, Ben Affleck is doing another movie too?
This he already shot it. Okay. Gone Girl. It's a new David Fincher movie.
I know a lot of people are thinking, when is Ben Affleck going to direct the movie himself?
That would be amazing. I wish he was directing this more to Snyder, to be honest. But I do have a wallop of a news to end on. And then we can talk some comics.
Okay.
Pacific Rim 2. That's right, people. It's happening. Guillermo del Toro released a video this week officially announcing Pacific Rim 2 will debut in 3D and IMAX 3D. Released by Legendary Pictures and Legendary Pictures and Universal Studios, April 7, 2017. Del Toro told BuzzFeed, quote, "The characters I love will return. Raleigh, Mako, Newt, Goleta."
Oh, stop!
And
stop.
Who knows?
You're breaking up.
Hello.
Yeah, start over.
Okay. Guillermo del Toro told BuzzFeed, "The characters I love will return. Raleigh, Mako, Newt, Gottlieb, and who knows, maybe even Hannibal Chow. But we are taking them into a fresh territory that will display amazing sights and battles. The first film set the stage, and now we're ready to have a blast." End quote. In addition to not only a sequel to the film that last year made about $190 million domestically, but $411 million worldwide, there will be a continuation of a comic book from Pacific Rim, Tales from Year Zero, a prequel graphic novel to the movie, and as well as a Pacific Rim animated series, thus making this a complete franchise.
That sounds like
amazing.
A good idea to do a sequel. I thought they were doing a prequel with the follow-up
movie. Del Toro fought against that.
So, what, they're going to open up a new rift? Or are we going to get a new invaders? Or it's going to be some leftover creatures? I mean, what's going to be the deal?
No one knows yet. All we know is that Gypsy Danger lives again. And I, for one, am excited. I love Pacific Rim. I still love that movie. It's one of my most prized Blu-rays. That Blu-ray is amazing. It's got all those great features, a fantastic commentary, and it's so amazing. And it looks great on Blu-ray, and the movie's just badass. And it's one of the few movies I advocated seeing
I wish I could take Optimus Prime out of the Transformer franchise and put him into the Pacific Rim franchise, so I can
You know what? Let Optimus deal with his own shit.
So I keep have the Autobot I like the most in a movie series that's better than what we keep getting with the Michael Bay-a-thon of explosions and so on and so forth.
You know what? Optimus is there willingly. Let him stay. Let Gypsy Danger handle his own shit.
Anyway, let's talk some TV. Did you see Legend of Korra?
How could I not? It premiered on my birthday, and it was amazing. Okay, Legend of Korra recently made its book free change debut on June 27th with free new
episodes.
Brand new episodes, and allow me to bring them up. Allow the title. Okay, here now, we go. The three episodes debuted were A Breath of Fresh Air, Rebirth, The Earth Queen.
Now, recap. Well, I'm not going to spoil everything, but the main thing is because the spirit world and the human world has now...
I can do this real quick.
No, let me do this. Let me do something. You want to do everything.
Okay,
you
my
don't
bad.
Want me
to
do anything.
Go.
Because the spirit world and the human world is now mixed... It's taking some adjusting to the fact that the spirit world is it's taking over a bit, and humans don't know how to handle that, and everybody's blaming the Avatar. In addition to that, it turns out by keeping the spirit world open, new airbenders are popping up everywhere. After 170 years of the airbenders being basically wiped out, other than Tenzin and his family. So now the Avatar and Tenzin and gang sets out on a mission to find these airbenders so they could train them and teach them. Because most people that got this new airbending ability, they don't want to be monks. And I'm guessing Tenzin's going to have to come to realize that you can make these people airbenders, but you can't turn them to monks where they just live secluded lives and... You know, no love, no family, no nothing.
Indeed.
All right. There's a new character. What's this little boy's name? Okay.
Wait. Hold on. Let me try to remember.
That is a Earth.
Kai.
He's a Earth. He's a new airbender, but he's a thief, and he's going to get into a lot of trouble because of that. And he's going to keep Maku and Bolin in trouble too. And they discovered, of course, their long missing family that lives in the Earth Kingdom. And the Earth Kingdom is messed up because the queen is Sabrat. And she's up to no good. But looks like the main story is going to be these four villains that are so dangerous that if they escape, it's just going to cause havoc for everyone.
Yes, and I can name them off real quick. Zaheer, voiced by Henry Rollins. Gazan, voiced by Peter Giles. Ming Hua, voiced by Grey Delisle. And Pai Li, voiced by Christy Wu. And they are very dangerous people.
And we finally met Zuko.
Old Zuko, voiced by Bruce Davison.
Who was, of course, the Fire Lord, and he's apparently still around, even though Aang's not. Anyway, so and Bomi, right? Name Bomi.
Yes.
Yes, he who was the
Tenzin's
only
brother.
He was the only son of Aang who didn't have any bending ability. Now, himself has gained airbending ability, so he's no longer the left-out member of the family.
Yep.
But yeah, it looks like this is gonna have quite a few plot lines going on, and
yes, I will say, having seen all three episodes, I think it's a great premiere. And I'm not saying that just because it's like, oh my god, one of my favorite shows aired on my birthday. No, I like the setup. These three episodes have made great setup. I like the ideas and storytelling they want to go with. I like how they're going about it already. The setup is just wonderful. And seeing old Zuko, like elderly Zuko, that's amazing. I love it. And I already love the villains that we're going to have. Again, Zaheer, Ming-Ha, Gazan, and Pili.
Yeah, what?
Pili. I apologize. I've only seen the episodes once, so I'm apologizing.
Each of these four villains, three of them had bending abilities, but not just the normal bending ability. I mean, the kind that really made them dangerous. And their leader didn't have any, but now all of a sudden he's gained air bending ability, and he's like already knows how to use it to full effect. So that's what makes them even more dangerous. And of course, they want to take down the Avatar just because they don't want no Avatars.
Yep, they don't like Korra. But again, what another detail I like is how quickly this picks up from the season 2 finale, where it's taking place 2 weeks after the harmonic convergence.
Yeah, there's no reason to have all this time go on, because what's the point of that? I mean,
yeah, exactly. The voice cast is still strong, and it goes without saying.
I mean, if you look at the
amazing animation,
if you look at the original series, it wasn't like when season 1 and season 2 and 3 and 4 ended, there was like a lot of time between them. They basically picked up within a month or so of, you know, the last season. The only other time was between season 2 and 3 that there may have been a little bit of time between the seasons, because Aang was kind of like knocked out or something, was a coma or something like that. I don't remember for sure, but you know what we got to do now, Jordan?
What?
We got to talk about this network.
Oh, but I want to talk about how good Superman 32 was.
Go ahead, then.
Okay, real quick. Superman 32. Thankfully, no longer written by Scott Lobdell. Instead, we have a superstar dream team. We have Geoff Johns on the writing, and we got John Romita Jr. And you've read my comic review column, Prattling Panels.
Mr. Marvel himself.
Yes. Again, if you didn't read Prattling Panels on starmancinema.wordpress.com, yes, I'm a cheap whore. But, I liked it. It's the the only two Superman books I'm really reading, like, a lot is Superman, Wonder Woman, and Action Comics. This makes me interested in reading Superman again. From an interesting setup and debut of a new character called Ulysses, co-created by Romita. I am very interested. Has a neat idea, but mostly it's reminds me a lot of John's Action Comics run, pre-52. A lot of great character-based work, setup, and hopefully good payoff.
All right, so what did you think of John Romita's stylized version of Superman?
I think it worked. I am usually a fan of John Romita Jr.'s art, and I'm not, depending on the writing. Here, I think it works really well. Of course, you get like a lot of the like broken nose type looks that some people have brought up about Romita's work, but I think it really works, especially in some of the more grittier fights. And this issue has a great opening with the setup of Ulysses and Superman taking down Titano, which I thought really worked. And you know what? Batman 32 this week was great, but you know what? I think Superman was a little bit of a stronger issue. So you know what? Go out, get Superman 32. You're not going to be disappointed. Also, other great works. Deadly Class number 6, Saga number 20, again, Batman number 32, and the Fuse number 5. And All New Ultimates number 4, which is the best issue of that series since its debut. Check those out, people.
Isn't it canceling Ultimate Fantastic Four?
Ultimate Fantastic Four has been canceled. Rumor is low sales. Or that stupid rumor that Marvel's going to try and dick over Fox. I'm going to stop right there before I go on a long rant about how idiotic Marvel would be if that happens.
Why you say that?
Because I think it's bad business on their part, and they should work with Fox if they want to, you know, have a good Fantastic Four movie. That's not called The Incredibles.
Yeah, but how do you know Fox is see, Fox may not be, I don't know what's going on, but they may not want to listen to Marvel as far as doing the Fantastic Four, and it just may be Fantastic Four in name only, and nothing's recognizable. But anyway, let's talk about what's going on here at Rant EM Radio.
Yes, we got lots. Especially
see,
today.
Now, people, you're going to have to wait around in an empty chat room for a whole hour. It's at 7 o'clock for the pregame coverage of Money in the Bank, starring Double A, where he'll be taking you through pre- and post-game show today. And, of course, stick around in the chat room during the pay-per-view to keep up to date to all the happenings that are going on. The play-by-play, blow-by-blow of wins and losses. Then come back on Tuesday for Double A Show of the Rant at 8 p.m. where he goes over all the wrestling news. Wednesday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil and Dave. And Phil, next time you advertise this show, my name goes first, not Jordan, me. I'm the star around here. I'm the star of this show.
I will agree to that. He's the one who's created this. He only brought me on as a co-host. Surfer's name goes first.
I was so hurt when I heard him mention your name. Anyway, sorry. Friday's usually when the Lex Experience podcast is broadcast, so keep your ears to the ground on that. Saturday night is the wrestling calling show with William Morgan. And we're here on Sundays for the What Are You Reading comic book show, and I couldn't do this without Jordan, so... But don't tell him I said that, because he'll want some money from me, and I don't have it. But so I'm going to leave us with a song. We're going to go out with a song. And this is a Full Circle song. All right?
So I'll say good night, everybody.
This is that singing sensation.
Oh, Dazzler?
Nope.
Oh.
Dirk Diggler with You Got the Touch.
Okay, Dirk, you ready?
Yeah, I was born ready, Nick. Let's go, man.
Dirk Diggler demo.
Keep the vocals up.
You Got the Touch. Take 7. Excuse me, Reed.
You got the touch. You got the power.
You think the bass is taken away from the vocal?
No, not really. Maybe. It sounds balanced to me.
It's definitely taken away from my vocal. Just to take the bass down and bring up the vocal.
Okay, let's do it, Nick. You heard him.